Zion a-wandering. In the cold night of sin I did roam. When Jesus the kind shepherd found me, and now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still water, and now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I walk through that dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there, and safely His great hand will lead me to the mansion He's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
I would like to turn your attention to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. I've got a clock here. It says 7:47. I'll try my best. 10, okay, thank you. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Every time the Lord Jesus Christ sensed that he needed to teach his disciples and the multitudes and the people, he always used illustrations around them. Here in this instance, he is using the illustration, he's taking the disciples on a fishing trip. By no means am I a fisherman. I don't know what it means to fish, and I have never been in a place where they had lakes or seas or whatever, and I like to apply Jesus' illustration in my life. What does it mean to be called out of your comfort zone? Jesus is calling certain disciples here out of their shallow areas. I want you to understand what is your shallow area in your life that prevents you from honoring God's Son. What is it that God has called you to do in this church, in your house, in the work area, or wherever God has placed you? And why is it so difficult to honor the Lord in your life? What is God's call on your life? Two, what is that dark area of the lake that God has called you to go to? Three, what is the value of a human soul to you? When you look at a dead person, dead, walking dead are out there. When I say spiritually dead people out there, what is the value that you place on that soul? These are the three things that I would like you to look at. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your passion for human souls. Lord, I thank you for saving us, for giving us spiritual leadership, for giving us a safe house, a refuge center, where we can come and ask you petitions, and you answer us, and you're able. Lord, tonight I ask you that you'll watch over us as we ponder over these teachings. Help us to apply it to our lives. Lord, even as we think about the day we were born again and the souls that you have given to us in this place, I ask you that you give us that vision that your Son has for all the people outside of these doors that are not within the fold. God, I pray that you give us wisdom and boldness to tell them about a Savior who left his glories in heaven and came down to earth and died an agonizing death on the cross for us. Lord, I pray that you open our hearts and minds as we read your holy word today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, when I'm reading this passage and I concentrate on the first few verses, I want to understand what is it that makes a simple, illiterate, uneducated fisherman, how is he transformed into a phenomenal soul winner? How is it that a man like fisherman, very uncouth, very uncivilized, and yet when he stands in front of 3,000 people all over the world, 3,000 people get saved. How does that happen? I have 2 master's degrees, and I preach and teach. You are decent-looking folks here in America. When foreign countries, in Africans or Southeast Asians, they look at America, they think, well, they're rich folks. They are rich in the sense, better than them, of course. You got a home, you drive a car, you're better than them. You got hot water, cold water coming out, you're richer than them. You don't have to walk 10 miles to go to a restroom. Sure? How does a man like Peter become a phenomenal speaker? He's written 2 epistles. I want to talk to you about fishing without Christ tonight. When Jesus is speaking, he is not in the boat yet. And when I read chapter verse 5, Simon is answering unto him and says, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. The spiritual lesson that I learned in that verse is when you're fishing without Christ, you will not catch anything. See? I remember the day I was born again. Today, when I look at myself, how many souls have I won to the Lord? Does that question bother you sometimes, all the time? Toiling for long hours trying to catch fish without results is very, very disappointing and depressing. I'm not a fisherman. When I was in India, I was raised in a place where there was no lakes, no beaches, no seas, no oceans. Years later, when I came to America, Ruth Ann said, oh, well, I don't know why her mom brought her there, but I chose that to be my home. And if you know Denver City, you've got to travel 300 miles in any direction to just find a lake to fish. I am on deputation, and I travel on the roads all the time in America, and I find all these men, they're toiling very hard. They're working very hard. They're over the bridges. They're near the lakes, and they miss church on Sundays or do whatever they want. And they're trying to catch fish, but there's a difference there. They're catching fish because it's a hobby. They're not going to go hungry. All they have to do is they've got to drive to a restaurant, and they've got to demand something, and the lady comes, yes, sir, no, sir, okay, this is a change or whatever. But this man here, he's working so hard, if he doesn't catch fish that night, his family is going to go hungry. I want you to take a look at all those people who are working hard around us today. I live in Denver City, and I see all these oil field workers. I'm not a man cut out to do oil field work, but I understand how hard it is. 16 hours, 18 hours, Monday through Friday, sometimes Saturday, sometimes Sunday. People are working hard, and they come back home, and yet they fail to understand how their problems in life don't diminish. Well, the answer is simple. The problem solver is Jesus Christ. They travel through these tunnels of life, and yet when they come to the end of the tunnel, they don't find the light of life in their lives. Listen to what Paul says to the church in Ephesus. And when I'm talking about that verse, Ephesians chapter 4, 17 and 18, I want you to understand that these are the characteristic traits of lost people around you. Listen to what he says. The condition of man without Christ is miserable and desperate, just like Peter. He did not have Christ in his boat and is miserable. He is fishing all night long. He's a professional fisherman. I think I know too much sometimes. I've got 2 master's degrees. I think I got this under control. No, sorry. Ephesians chapter 4, 17 and 18. Paul is talking about lost people. He says, walking in the vanity of their mind. I'm a vain person. I'm thinking. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. These are the characteristic traits of lost people around you. Does that bother you tonight? Fishing without Christ, you will not catch anything. Fishing without Christ, there is no hope. In India, like elsewhere here in America, these people are trying to toil very hard to attain salvation, just like these fishermen without Christ in their boat. You know what they believe in? They believe that they can attain salvation through good deeds. You know what my Bible tells me? Not through works, lest any man should boast. I believe in the grace of God. Salvation comes by grace through faith in Christ alone. Faith. Agnostics and atheists ask me, what is faith? There are people who do not get to see the light at the end of this tunnel because they believe that they can attain salvation through devotion. They can attain salvation through pilgrimages. Some people go, they abandon their families, they abandon their kids, just like Gautam Buddha did when he saw the suffering beyond those palace walls. He left his wife, he left his children. For that matter, he left his entire kingdom in search of the truth. And he sat down underneath a sal tree and he claimed to have attained nirvana. I'm not talking about the American pop rock group, whatever that is, nirvana. He tried to claim that he achieved perfection by becoming one with the ultimate being. There's only one absolute truth, and that is Jehovah God and his son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who gives us power to follow that living God. The Bible says you will find him if you want to find him. Sure. Serving impersonal idols to please them for a blessing gets them nowhere. They're blinded by the God of this world. Hopeless people. Isaiah says about the idol worshiper, he says, those who make them are like them, which means they're lifeless, they're dead. What are you doing about it? Do you not have the light of life? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Hey, he called us the lights of this world. God graciously declares to follow sinful men in their darkened understanding. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am born again. Are you?
Amen.
Then why are we hiding lights under our blankets? Fishing without Christ, there's no catch. Fishing without Christ, there's no hope. Today, I want to talk to you about the blessed privilege to walk with Christ. You see, Jesus gets into the boat and he's taking Peter on a fishing trip. A professional carpenter is telling professional fishermen what they should do. There are sometimes, you know, kids will teach us lessons. He said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. What is your deep part of the lake that God is calling you to minister tonight, brothers and sisters? You know, I think Peter knew what he was doing. He's a fisherman. He understands the dynamics of fishing. During the night, I'm not a fisherman. I don't know how to swim. But I think Peter, when he was casting his nets near the shallow areas, it's nighttime, I think the fish come to the shallow areas to fish or to find rest. And he thought that he would find fish there. He was in the right place. But when Jesus says, row your boat into the deep part of the lake, Peter said, oh, okay, I'm the fisherman here. You are the carpenter. Do we not tell God what to do sometimes?
Yeah.
See, let's assume that Brother Fisher's pulpit is my shallow area, my comfort zone. America is my comfort zone. You know that? When I was growing up, I had no escalators in my buildings. I would come down. I used to live in a fourth-story building, and I would come down in 4 minutes. I was young. I was strong. I would go down there. When I came to America, I've got to click the door is unlocked, and I can step out 2 steps. I get into my car, air conditioning, heater. I've got all sorts of, gadgets out there. And I go to the restaurants, and I like steaks, Texas steaks.
Amen.
Oh, I like them. I like pork chops.
Amen.
I came to America, and I soon forgot how to play soccer. I got into this American football thing. They got all sorts of teams here, but I like, not because I'm Texas. I love the Cowboys.
Yeah,
honestly,
amen.
I mean it. Maybe I'm getting into trouble here, but I'll go ahead and say this. I'm a Longhorns fan, okay? But Jesus, when he says, Winston, get off your shallow area, get out of there, and come down and go to that deep part of the lake, and I'm walking to that deep part of the lake. The deep part of the lake for me is India. The deep part of the lake here, right here in Fort Worth for you guys. God placed you in Longview for a reason. God is calling the Kumars to go to India for a reason. He's got fish for me there. He's got fish for you here. When God calls me to leave my shallow area, my comfort zone, and go to that deep part of the lake called India, I'm in trouble. Because when I take my boat, I know when the boat leaves the shallow area, that part is deep. I'm not a fisherman. I don't know how to swim. I know that I've got to trust God so that when the storms of life hit me, I'm not going to drown. I talked about the steak and the pork chops part. Well, when I go to India, the Hindus consider the cow a holy animal, so I cannot eat steaks. I cannot eat pork because the Muslims consider it an abomination. Well, they don't play football there. They play soccer and cricket there. They don't even know baseball. One of your kids was telling me, baseball. Well, they don't play baseball. If you want to become a missionary to India, then you got to get out of your comfort zone and come to India and learn how to play cricket. See? The reason also is because the deep, dark place, because they believe in a lot many superstitions. It is deep and dark and dangerous because they believe in a philosophy called rebirth. You remember John chapter 3, Nicodemus is talking to Jesus in the middle of the night and he says, Master? And Jesus is talking about being born again. He's talking about being transformed. For me, when I think of transformation, I believe when the Holy Spirit convicts my heart of my sin and I go to my knees and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive my sins. And I believe in my heart that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and that is he alone who can save me from my sins. That's when I become born again. Nicodemus comes and says, Master, do I have to go back into my mother's womb to be born again? That means he's saying, do I have to become a baby and then become an adult and die and then go back? See, that's the rebirth. When a Hindu reads that concept, he thinks, oh, that's rebirth. Many people are missing the mark, just like Nicodemus. Because Jesus is not talking about rebirth. Jesus is talking about being born again. How are you born again? Do you have the Spirit of God in your life? I heard this from, of course, this is Brother Ronnie Rees. Your pastor knows him, and maybe some of you know him. I was there with him on Easter Sunday, and I love this aspect of what he said. He said, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit used to come and go. He used to empower somebody, gave him the gifts, left the person. But when that person was filled with the Spirit, man, nobody could stop him. Do you know Samson? Do you know some of those people who built the temple of Solomon? Today, God has given us that power of that Holy Spirit forever. He lives with us. Remember Jesus when he was going into heaven, he said this. You know all the miracles and all the stuff that Jesus did. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He said, you'll do more greater things than I did. Then why is it that when the Holy Spirit lives in our lives, why is it that we're not making a difference in the lives of people around us? Why is it that we are still in our comfort zone? What is your comfort zone? Is it your children? Is it your family? Is it your football? Or is it your restaurants or whatever it is? Or is it your job? What is it? I told you mine. I've been open with you about my comfort zone. Would you be open with you about your comfort zones with God? And ask him to change, make that shift in your thinking as to what you should do. If you're a grandparent, if you're a parent, would you bring your children to church? Amen. If there is somebody in the church who does not have a ministry, would you ask your pastor just what it is that he wants you to do? Perhaps you may not know. You've been in the church for so many years. Perhaps you may not know how to lead a person to Christ. How many people know how to lead a person to Christ? Are you embarrassed to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ? What is your comfort zone? Why is that ministry is difficult for you? God has given you leadership. I want to move on. I've got less time. Caste system. There's other things like washing of sins in the Ganges River. Can you believe that? I believe that the blood of Christ can wash me from my sin. There are a lot of people out there who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why missionaries come to your church. Today, I also want to talk to you about fishing. When you're involved in the work of fishing, it's difficult. You need a lot of patience. In God's work, you need to work hard. It's just the nature of the work that God has given us. Remember that hymn where it says, patiently win them. Soul winning is hard. It's difficult. But with the power of the Lord, with God in your boat, the second person of the Trinity in your boat, you will row your boat in that direction God wants you to. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Do you love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength? Today, I also want to challenge you. Do you know that the number of fish that Jesus has given me is 2 billion fish? That sign that you see when you come into this place is an old sign. There are a lot of people that God has brought you into your life. There are some places that the pastor cannot go. There are places that only your children who are students can go. Would you teach them how to witness with their friends? A 12-year-old girl witnessed to Ruth Ann, and today she is saved. Amen. Do not underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of young children. Remember Samuel? Today, when you are fishing, there are challenges ahead. There's a great multitude. I talk about Indian population. People, everybody here in the world, everywhere in the world and here in America know that India has the second largest population. There is a reason why the Chinese and the Indian people are more in number in the world. Does that grab our attention? There's a great responsibility. This is a great task for one missionary couple. 1 billion people for one missionary couple? Our net is too small to handle 32 million in Orissa state, 2 billion in India. Of course, God has called us to a specific part. God has called you guys to a specific area of your lives. Your net is too small to catch all the fish in this place. Brother Brian Fisher cannot do it everything by himself. He needs partners. Listen to this. When Peter believed in the Lord and he took his boat in that direction, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net broke. Today, there is a spiritual principle involved here. When you are faithful, when you obey the Lord, and you let the Lord lead your boat in that deep, dark place that God calls you, the Bible says there is a blessing involved in it. Today, when you work together and you allow God to work in each person according to the abilities that he's given you, according to the gifts that he has given you, God says you will enclose a great multitude of fishes and their net break. Today, I want this boat to sink. I want this net to break. I mean that in a spiritual sense. If everyone is faithful and you row your boat in the direction under the authority of your pastor and your leadership team, God will bring people into this place. Amen. The sinking has a spiritual meaning to it. These walls will go back. That door will go back. These pews will be filled. And pastor, you'll have a good problem to deal with. You'll have to train people. You'll have to disciple people. You'll have to train people how to drive those buses maybe. See, there are a lot of things that the Lord has pointed out to us tonight. And he says, there is a blessing. They beckoned their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. I don't believe in Lone Ranger stuff. Why do missionaries come to pastors, partners? My sending pastor, my sending church is my James. All the other pastors, Brother Fisher, and other pastors are my supporting pastors. My other Johns and the other other partners in this great commission. Amen. Brother Fisher and the deacons are the partners that you can have. I want to give you an illustration of the fish and I will of the net, and I'll close. Adrian Rogers gives this illustration of the fishing net, and he asks this question. He says, "What is the fishing net?" And he says, "A fishing net is nothing but a bunch of holes knit together. And the hole does not have a value by itself. Zero. It does not have any value. I say, what? Look at all of us. We are a bunch of nothings because of our sin, because of our depravity. But we are knit together by the grace of God. He shed his blood, and because of him, we are something. And when you allow God to use you as a net, Longview Baptist Church is a net, and you allow God to use this net into Fort Worth, Texas, you will reel in a lot of fish. Well, when a person leaves the church, there's a hole in that net. You see what the fishermen used to do when they were done with their fishing trip? They had to mend their nets. Everybody's got issues, but together you can do this. Missionaries come to pastors because we need pastors. We need these boats. One boat is America. The other boat is India. Together we can reel in that great catch of fish. You got fish. I've got fish. We've got leaders. There's one thing that comes to my mind when I see multitudes, and this is what Jesus saw when he saw the multitudes. He said, I see the multitudes being led astray. They had no pastors, no shepherds. God has blessed you with a pastor. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Praise the Lord for the deacons. Tonight, I want you to understand where you're rowing your boat to tonight. Are you concerned about the value of the souls there? The Bible talks about fish, and I used a spiritual application there. I call them souls. But Jesus says, when Peter was astonished when he saw all the fish, he fell down at Jesus' knees and he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. You may not be a pastor, you may not be a missionary, but know that when you fulfill God's will in your life and you row your boat into that deep part of the lake, you sure will affect some lost sinner. And when that lost sinner sees the gospel light in your lifestyle, there's one place for him to go down to. He'll go down to his knees and he'll accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Would you mind passing a tract? I was talking with Brother Brian Fisher and I said, nobody gets their heads chopped off here in America just for passing a tract. Why is it so difficult for me to witness like that? Tonight, I want you to also think about the promise. Tonight, I want to end this service with the promise of Jesus. And he says, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. That is a promise given by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is in your boat the day when you became born again. When you row your boat with the Lord in your boat, you don't have to fear anybody. All you've got to do is to stay faithful. And then when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. That boat meant everything to Peter, his lifestyle, his business, and everything. What does it mean for you to forsake all? Have you forsaken your all? I don't think there's anybody in this place who has forsaken everything. I am not asking you to leave your homes, to sell your trucks and cars and your belongings. All I'm asking you to do is give your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him take control of your lives. Let's pray tonight.